Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast. I'm here with Gilbert Almario, who's a good friend of mine. Say what's up, Gilbert.
Hey, what's up? Hey.
Cool. Gilbert is a guy I met who's become pretty much like family when I used to work back in New Mexico at White Sands Missile Range. And we used to work shift together. And it was one of those things where we spent so much time with each other that it became like a family setting. So we basically spent more time with each other than we did our own family. Is that pretty safe to say, Gilbert?
Yeah, I think that's more than safe, because we did spend a lot of time, you know, with our coworkers than with our family. Because when you're home, right, after working shift, you'd be like, what, 3 hours, 4 hours, you'd be spending time with your family, then you go to bed.
Yeah, you'd have to fit in like 3 hours of family time, and then eat something, and then go to bed, because like you're waking up the next morning to do it all over again for another grueling 12 hours of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you know, the more you spend time, the more you know you connected with the people you work with. So. And like you said, you know, it became like we're like family pretty much, because we spent so much time. We got to know each other more. And since then, I think we've been friends, not just friends, but, you know, part of the family. So.
Cool. And another thing, too, is like I want to kind of reach out to people that are out there that if, you know, when you listen to this podcast, you're able to submit questions when I do my next podcast, we'll kind of answer those again. And hopefully Gilbert will be kind enough to join me on most of my podcasts so we can kind of collaborate together and think of some cool topics and skits and things like that. But anyway, that's my part of it. As far as working with him, I actually left New Mexico about 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in October. I'm now in South Carolina, and Gilbert, you want to tell them where you're from or where you're at right now?
Well, I moved to Virginia first. Actually, I left New Mexico before Chris. I got a job offer to move to Virginia, the company I was working for, and they moved me to Virginia 2015. And that's like, you know what, I think it's time to move, trying to see something different, you know, have a different lifestyle and kind of like experience the city life. So kind of took a chance. And by the way, before I continue with that, let me introduce myself. My name is Gilbert. I work for a company as an IT specialist. And like Chris said, he mentioned, you know, we work shift for at least, what, 2-3 years, right? I believe.
I was at the site for 5 years.
5 years. Oh, probably that long. Yeah. Maybe 5 years. Yeah. About 5 years. Yeah. Time just flew by. So then I moved to Virginia and then ended up moving to Maryland a year after. Got a different job, and then that's when Chris, you moved to South Carolina, I guess a year after I moved.
Yeah, I was here in October. What month did you get into? Did you go to
actually
get to Maryland or Virginia?
March, I believe, March 8, 2015. So actually, it wasn't
about that. 7 months. Yeah,
7 months. Yeah. So, but since then, you know, I stay in contact, you know, pretty much almost every other day we'll text, right?
Yeah. So another thing too is like we've kept in contact. Like I said, working with shift, we basically became family. Hung out at work, outside of work, you know.
Yeah. We try to. I know you have kids. Like you have kids.
Yeah.
Kids comes first.
Yeah. So we just, they would just tag along. So,
yeah.
The cool part is like they've kind of taken Gilbert in and his wife as kind of like an aunt and uncle thing, because like we're the only family that basically we have over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, and actually, you're the only family we have in New Mexico, yeah. Actually. So,
oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. I didn't have any family in New Mexico, so pretty much you're my only family we had over there. But moving to the East Coast really kind of really opened up a lot of things, not just, but mindset and way of life and way of thinking really changed, sure. Our life around, having freedom, like privacy here in the East Coast. You don't get that really because it's so
There's
crowded.
There's so many people here. Around.
Yeah, yeah, it's so crowded here. And, in Las Cruces or New Mexico, you can go to any gas station. Like, you can talk to anybody, really. Like, you've done it for years. Yeah. Moving here, that's not the case.
It seems like people have, like, their guard up more. Where either they don't have time to talk to you or they're not interested in talking to you or they're afraid you're going to rob them.
that too. Yeah. Or they find you creepy, right? They find you creepy.
Yeah, they find you creepy.
Yeah. So it took, when I come here, like, you know what? I start talking to people, restaurant, gas station, and my wife's like, what are you doing? They're like, just talking to people. Like, it's not like that. That's like, see the way they look at you? Like, what? They're like, because I'm talking to them? They're like, is it not a normal thing to do? Like, talk to people? So, especially in D.C., walk around D.C., trying to talk to people. It's like either, that's why when we're in New Mexico, people from East Coast moving to New Mexico, we're trying to talk to them. They seem like they're rude, but they're not. It's just there's so many things going on in their mind. It's like, you're trying to approach them. They're like, they look at you like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
So it's not the same mindset that we have in New Mexico, in the East Coast, because they're, they got used to lifestyle. Like, they're so busy here. They got so much going on. There's so many things that they have to do. It's like the last thing they want to do is like talk to a random person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some creepy dude like trying to come up to them, like Filipino with an accent. They're like, what do you want?
Yeah. So like one of the reasons that we have Gilbert on the show is because he's just a very interesting person. His backstory is like one of the craziest ones I've ever heard. It's one of those things where you don't believe it until you actually spend time with Gilbert to be able to be like, man, that's some real shit. Like, it's funny because he does have an accent. I'm originally from Las Cruces, New Mexico. That's where I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. Until I was about 41 years old is when I moved out of New Mexico. But I have lived out of New Mexico prior to that. I actually lived in the same area that Gilbert lives in, but when I was younger, and then we moved back to New Mexico. But yeah, Gilbert is you've lived in Guam, right?
Yeah, I was living in Philippines. I was born and raised there, and then lived there for 15-16 years. And then moved to Guam. Then from Guam to the to California. Then California. Then New Mexico. And that's pretty much the line of entrapment. I didn't go anywhere else.
Yeah, but you cut your arm off, and you were able to escape.
Yeah, it took a while. That's why I have to move around because the Homeland Security, it's all over the place.
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I guess I can tell you my backstory, how I ended up in here, and how I got the job, which is really crazy. And I'm fortunate enough meeting all kinds of nice people actually in New Mexico. That's why I love New Mexico so much, because like that's the only state really kind of welcome me as a human being. You know what I mean? I was treated very, very well. I never had any problem. Every holiday at the time when my sister left. Well, let me backtrack again. Let me start. So, moving to New Mexico, actually, my sister encouraged me to move to New Mexico. either find a job, go to college, stuff like that. So at the time, I was in Guam. So my sister was like, you know, you can live with me, you know. She's like, I'll help you out, whatever you need, you know, get your feet off the ground. And who knows, you know, you might find something better here. So from Guam, they flew me to California. My sister at the time was living in California, waiting for her husband to finish academy.
Now, when they flew you from Guam, you were actually in the plane, right? Not on the bottom of the plane. Like you weren't like a stowaway.
No, I was actually in a box. It says fragile.
Made in the Philippines.
Yeah, no, it's made in China because at the time, there's nothing coming out of the Philippines. It's just money you send over there. Yeah, there's no packages. It's just fragile. So it says right there, fragile, and then exotic animal.
Yeah, Gilbert is pretty exotic, especially now he's got really long hair.
Yeah, it says do not feed.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's like eating.
I can see them like taking you off of the airplane like Hannibal Lecter.
something in my mouth, so I don't bite anybody.
Yeah, with a muzzle. So you don't bite any of the passengers.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Actually, you know, crazy story. Like, you know, living in Philippines, actually, you know, 15 years. Really, kind of. I thought, you know, I had a hard life. Everybody had a hard life, you know. I can't really say sure. I had a hard life because, you know, probably a lot of people out there probably had it worse than me, you know what I mean? So I can't say, like, you know, I had a worse life. You know, I will never think like that because I'm lucky to be alive, you know, lucky to be here. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so, yeah, let's kind of go back to, like, before I interrupted you with my funny... probably racial slurs, but
it's funny.
So going back to that, because we don't want to give everybody too much about, you know, we just want to kind of like scratch the surface here so that we can save that for a different time. But
yeah.
So anyway, you go and you fly out to California and
live there and then, for 4 or 5 months. You know, my sister's husband. Which is my brother-in-law, finishing up his academy. He's in a Border Patrol academy, so we're waiting for him to finish up so we can move to New Mexico. Then, like 4 months, and they moved to New Mexico. And then when I got to New Mexico, you know what's crazy? When I got to New Mexico, you know, living in Guam in the Philippines, I never seen desert. I didn't even know what desert looked like until I moved to New Mexico. Yeah, and then. The third day I was living in New Mexico, at the time I didn't know about this. So I was outside and then it started hailing, hailing, this big ball. So I went inside the house and told my sister, hey, like it's raining ice. Like I just got hit by ice.
Once again, here I come. She's like, what, immigration customs enforcement? No, not that ice.
I was like, I got hit by ice. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, what are you talking about? So I grabbed it. I showed it to her. Oh, you mean hail? Like, what? Well, that is hail.
Oh. Yeah, that's funny. It's like something so simple. Yeah. Right?
But
you're seeing for the first
time. Yeah, but growing up, you know, I never seen that. You know what I mean? Like, that's new to me. So.
And how old were you when you discovered hail?
I would say I was 17, yeah.
Okay.
16, 17, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, for the first time. And then, you know, of course, my family's like, you're new. You're like, I'm like, you know, fresh off the boat, you know what I mean? Kind of person.
Sure.
So I was like, so this is hail? This is what it looks like, but it's ice. It's like, it's cold. Like, you know, I can put this on my cup. And put water and drink it. They're like, no, you don't want to do that. So, you know what I mean? I'm still learning, you know what I mean? I'm still trying to adapt, you know, the environment, right. The culture, you know, just being around. You know what's crazy too? Like, so I went to school, right? New Mexico, second semester of senior year. So I got there. It's like my English is not as good. I mean, as you can tell, probably it's not as good right now. I'm still like kind of like trying to better myself by reading. Hopefully, you know, I get better. But
yeah.
But there's no way I can get rid of my accent. I guess my accent is like, I mean, it's stuck for me. It's stuck with me forever. Yeah. There's no way getting rid of it. There's no surgery, no nothing, you know.
No. You can't have like an accent reduction no. type surgery.
Yeah. There's no software update or patch that it can fix my accent. I mean, that'd be great if they had.
Yeah, you know, you know, like listening to you talk, it just adds more to your personality. When you're speaking and stuff like that. So after a while, you know, you become a little bit accustomed to it, or like probably just like you, like you don't really hear your accent, or you try to say a word that, you know, you have to say a couple of times just to like get it right. But with me, like hearing you talk, it doesn't really, like, it just becomes like part of you. And I think that that's a lot to do with where, you know, like living in New Mexico, because, and this is just a disclaimer,
yeah.
New Mexico is a state in the United States.
Yeah, it's part of America.
Right. It just a quick little thing. It, you know, it got its statehood in 1912. So it's been in part of the United States since 1912.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, like I'll be out and people will approach me or whatever and they'll say like, "Hey, where are you from?" And I'm like, I'm from, I used to say New Mexico.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Wow, you speak English really well." And yeah. I'm like, "Well, yeah. I would hope so because I'm American."
Yeah. Or, so, press one.
So then I stopped. Yeah. Yeah. Para continuar en español. So I tried to tell them, you know, like, "No, I'm from New Mexico." And sometimes like the kids will say that too. And they're like, "Well, what happened to the old one?" It's like, well, it's still there. It's just on the other side of the border.
Yeah, and Trump about to build a higher wall.
Yeah. Yeah, so anybody listening out there, don't forget to submit your prototypes for the wall.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so I went and I changed gears a little bit to where they would ask me, like, where I was from, and I would just say Las Cruces. And then they're like, "Oh, where's that? You know, where's that?" Or, "Oh, I know that. That's like by Albuquerque, or that's by El Paso," mm-hmm. or, you know, stuff like that. So I just stopped saying New Mexico in general.
Yeah.
But it's sad that you have to actually explain to people that have either a college degree or, like, just in general, just saying, like, "Hey, like, this is part of the United States." Or whatever. And then, I mean, they'll even say like, "Hey, oh, you're from New Mexico? Yeah. Well, how long have you been here?" "Well, you know, I've been here for 3 years. Do you still have family back in Mexico?" It's like,
you look at your leg.
It's New Mexico.
It's newer.
So anyway, I just kind of, yeah, it's newer. It's like it's Mexico 0.5.
Yeah. 2.0.
2.0.
But you know what's crazy, you know, since you mentioned that, you know, when I will travel, and you know, I will have a New Mexico driver's license. So when you go to the airport or other places, restaurant, yeah, they look at me like you know, I'm Mexican. That any other type of identification to provide that I'm an American citizen.
A passport, a visa.
Yeah, like because you know,
birth certificate. Yeah.
You know, me having an accent doesn't help. And then seeing a driver's license with New Mexico, they don't have an accent. Like, so this guy's a foreigner, this guy's Mexican, but I'm not being Mexican, but me having an accent, so people already have that, you know, assumption that I'm from Mexico, and then I have to provide another type of identification that I'm American citizen.
Right.
Which is, you know, I don't blame them, maybe, but it is what it is. I know, a couple of years ago, most airports do not accept New Mexico job. Identification as your ID,
yeah.
Right? So you have to you have to provide another type of ID just to verify that you're American citizen, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And And now, so, Chris, yeah. So what made you move to South Carolina?
So back in 2015, I have a brother that lived here, and he had been in South Carolina for about 20 years, and he had moved down to Charleston like 10 years prior to that, or not prior to, but at, you know, like there at the end. So like the first 10 years he was in the upstate of mm-hmm. South Carolina, and then he moved down to Charleston for the second 10 years. And he started a business in 2012 became very successful. And he was always, you know, asking me like, hey man, you got to come out and visit and stuff like that. So I was like, all right. It took a few years. In 2015, we came down like at the end of July, actually just like right around this time, 3 years ago. And we came to visit. We came for about, I don't know, 7 days, 10 days or something like that. And my wife fell in love with it. My kids fell in love with it. And, you know, I really liked it. And I was still working at White Sands at the time. And from July, or actually the end of July, I think I went back to work right after we were done on vacation. And I was sitting at work, and I was just like, man, I'm sitting here on a Sunday. Like, what the hell? Like, this sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. I miss the boating out there, you know, the running out in the woods, the water, the, you know, just the whole lifestyle that it was. And he had always wanted me to move out here, and I just told him, like, you know, I've got a good job, and I really didn't want to do any of that. And my wife had, you know, lived in New Mexico her whole life, and she really liked the way it was laid out here. And that was the end of July, and right around September, he said, I was at work one Sunday, and I was like, man, this sucks. Like, I feel like I have like no quality of life. I was checking my pulse rate. I was like, man, my pulse rate's higher here than it was over there. I was all relaxed, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, and that's part of vacation, right?
So, yeah.
I went and I called my wife, and I was like, I called her on a break, and not like a Ross and Rachel break, but like I took a break from work.
Yeah.
and I gave her a call. And I was like, hey, like, how serious are you about moving over there? And she's like, well, I'm very serious. I really liked it. So then, you know, we talked for a few minutes, and then I hung up and I called my brother, and I was like, hey, how serious are you about us moving over there? And he's like, I'm very serious. Like, I think it would be a good opportunity. And I was like, well, you know, one of the things is I have a really good job here. And he's like, I'll match it. Whatever you're doing there, like, I'll match it and then some. And, you know, I'll take care of you. And so that's how we went about it, man. And, our first day here in Charleston, Mount Pleasant is where I live, was October 8th. So that was like on my 41st birthday, I believe, or something like that, 42nd birthday. But yeah, so that's kind of like how I ended up on this side.
That's really quick.
States.
I don't think you really like talk it through for like a couple of months before you even like, you know what, I'm going to move. It just kind of happened, right?
You know, I think, yeah, it was just one of those things. It's like one of those spur of the moment type things where, you know, I listened to my wife and I saw how happy they were, like, you know, and I know that vacation is different than actually living somewhere, you know, like you go to Disney World, but after a while you're gonna get sick of people. Yeah. If you live there, you know, it's you know, you go for a day, whatever, have fun, and then you leave.
Yeah,
you know, and that was one of the things I was explaining to her, is like, hey, that was vacation, it's different, you know, if we live there, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, we'll have a brother and stuff like that, and we'll be able to do things. I, you know, there's more opportunity for the kids. You know, the schooling's probably a lot better.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. So, there's a lot to do. You know, there's a lot to explore, right?
Yeah, and you know, we do our travel, and we don't have to go far, you know, to be able to watch a football game or a baseball game, or just, you know, take time out on a weekend and, you know, drive up to Charlotte or Orlando or Jacksonville or Atlanta. You know, I mean, we can do that like on a long weekend type stuff. So we're kind of closer to a lot more things to do than we had in the past. You know, like, you know, one thing, the great thing about New Mexico is it's so diverse. You know, you have a lot of culture there. You know, you have retirees that go there from, you know, they move from the north, they move there, they want to settle there, you know, for the retirement and stuff like that, which is good. So you have a big group of people that end up moving out there. Black, white, Asian, you know, just every mix. And, you know, it's something like where you don't really experience, you know, like stares, you know, like depending on what color you are,
yeah,
things like that. And I mean, and same thing here. I mean, it's, you know, the people here are really nice. It's, you know, it's hard to say, like, you know, God, the people suck here. But anyway, going back a little bit, just living here is a little bit, it's just better. Like,
yeah,
the quality of life is really what I was looking for.
Minus the alligator, right?
Yeah, minus alligator.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, when they went and visited you, like, just like literally alligator by the park, by the pond, like next to the house, like right there in the open, and kids are playing right next to it. Like, what the heck is going on here?
Right across, yeah.
Yeah, like, they don't...
And Gilbert's like, how close can I get? I was like, I don't know. Try it.
like really close. But it's insane, though, you know what I mean? Like, see, like, the lifestyle is different, you know what I mean? People are used to that, you know? Like, me coming from, like, you know, not seeing that, for me, like, when I see that, like, that's not normal. Like, seeing it, like, I'm used to seeing it in the zoo, right? Caged right. up, fence, for everybody's safety. But where you live is like right there in the open.
And yeah, so every little residential area, like every whatever you call it, like subdivision, I guess.
Yeah, neighborhood
has like their own neighborhood. They have like their ponds and things like that, and the alligators just kind of sunbathe. You know, they can be under cars sometimes. They could be at people's front doors, like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but that's insane.
You know, their little doorbell rings. The little doorbell thing,
yeah.
The little camera.
Yeah. But
they'll pick it up and like catch movement on there, and all of a sudden it's an alligator like walking up to their front door.
Yeah, but all they have is a sign by the pond, like a sign. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have like a fence though, like, you know what I mean, like to stop them from going around the neighborhood. It's just a sign, like, do not swim. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just like saying, you know, do not stop at the, I mean, stop at the stop sign, but people still try to blow that stop sign. So,
all right. So let me read you a little bit of like what Gilbert's talking about these signs. These signs are like posted like throughout our neighborhood, and pretty much anywhere that they're have like sightings or whatever. And it says, notice, alligators are common in this area. They can be dangerous and should not be approached, frightened, or fed. Please give them the respect they deserve. Keep your distance.
And what did I do?
You chose not to keep your distance.
Yeah. But. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's fascinating for me. It's like, I want to get close. I want to grab it. But I know that's not a good idea. I mean, you were telling me, like, do not do it, or...
Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, but
they run a lot faster than what people think they do.
Yes, I saw that. I didn't realize how quick they are. Like, the one, I think I remember trying to grab, it just dive into the pond like nothing, and disappeared.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, this sucker, man, they are fast. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of like where we're at, but. One thing is, like, when we left here, I think we lived here for about October, maybe about 2 months before we went to go visit you up in Maryland. And we go and we get back, and Gilbert sends me a video of the mall that he lives next to, or that he used to live next to. And these people are raiding
Victoria's Secret.
They're raiding the Victoria's Secret
with the black, big black trash bag.
And they're like walking up to like the front of the store, and they're like stuffing all this, all these panties and bras and like anything they could get their hands on, stripping the mannequins and like just. And I'm not talking about one trash bag. I'm talking like
a couple
commercial size, you know, a couple of these commercial size things. And they're just loading them and running out of the store.
Yeah, they have the contractor bag.
So, yeah. They have one of those big ass dumpsters.
Yeah, the contractor.
They have the construction sites. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's insane. You know, right. Everybody just stood around and just like, whatever, you know what I mean? So I think, you know what I mean? I think that happens in all big cities. So, you know, people mentality are very different, you know, everywhere you go. So, you know, that's what I think people that just live in like their small bubble and just look at, they watch the, you know, news, the media, you know, and then they assume that's how they are. Like most people around.
Right. And that's not, yeah.
And that's not your good source.
It's just a, no, not at all. Media is not good at all.
Yeah.
For it, you know, it may seem funny, and this is like our public service announcement. It's like, stealing is wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But that's everywhere, though. It's not just in the city.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah, it's and it's funny to see, but it's not funny that happens, I guess. I don't condone stealing.
Yeah, but at least no one got hurt, right? You know what I mean? No one got hurt.
Yeah.
And they pretty much, they mind their own business. They stole what they wanted to steal, and they left. They didn't harass anybody. They didn't threaten anybody. They just left. And that's about it.
Speaking of stealing, have you ever stole anything? Besides my heart?
My wife. that's two Your so wife. Far. Yeah, that's two so far. As far as I remember.
That's two hearts.
Yeah. And then people on Tinder, maybe a couple of them.
So let me tell you this story. I was probably around, I was in elementary. So it had to have been like maybe around 84, 85, like back then when the space shuttle was real big.
Mm-hmm.
And over in White Sands, the space shuttle had there's a lot of history with White Sands. And the space shuttle, it landed there because it couldn't land over in California. So, like, this was a secondary stop for it, like the backup plan. Mm-hmm. So it stopped. It landed there. But I was, like, really big into the space shuttle. And I went to Kmart one time. And I was with my parents and my brothers. And I'm not sure if my sister was born yet. Yeah, so she was probably around 3 years old. And I go to Kmart, and I'm looking at this little die-cast metal space shuttle. And I was like, man, it's cool. Like, you know, you could open up the flaps up on top, the little door, the little wheels came down. Just the coolest thing. So anyway, we leave Kmart. And this is some pretty messed up stuff. But we leave Kmart, and my parents were going out for the evening, so like my grandma was watching this that evening or whatever, and I went to go take my pants off and like empty out my pockets and stuff, and when I pulled out the stuff in my pockets, the space shuttle was in there.
Oh crap.
So I did not know, like I like unknowingly put it in my pocket, all right? And I was, like, freaking out. I was like, shit, like, my parents know everything they buy us, you know? Like, we weren't poor, but we were raised poor, so type of thing. And then, you know, they were going to ask and question, like, I didn't have any sort of explanation of, like, if they found out I had it. I couldn't hide it anywhere because my parents, like, my mom was a clean freak. And so she would clean everything. So what I did was I got it and I took it out of my pocket and I stuck it in my brother's pants. I stuck it in my brother's pants and I like waited for him to like find it. So like, sure enough, he like finds it like the next morning and he's like, hey, like, he's like, what is this? And I was like, what? You got that for me? I was like, oh, like, where did you get it? Like, how did you know I wanted it? He's like, you're a fucking liar. Yeah. He's like, you stole this. Yeah. So, dude, I don't know. Stealing it was easy to do because I did it, right? Yeah. But he's like, okay, I'm not going to tell mom, but you have to go take it back. So, of course, stealing it was easy.
Yeah.
It seemed harder getting it back into the store than it was getting it out of the store.
Well, how old were you, you said?
I was probably like, I had to have been like in fourth or fifth grade.
Okay. Well, like to take it back, I'd be like, nope, this is mine. Like, but there's a warrant still out there. Did you know that?
I have a warrant.
It's still out there. Still pending, you know. So open investigation.
So anyway, yeah. So anyway, he did tell my mom and my dad. I got in trouble, so we had to go to confession. One, I had to go to confession for stealing it. Two, my brother had to go to confession because he told on me.
Yeah,
and whatever reason that was for, but yeah, it wasn't good. So
yeah. So did you have to go to the to the church and went to the confession room and told the priest?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I had to. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I had to do that. Yeah, my parents were very strict Catholics growing up. You know, church every Sunday, sweating our balls off. We had, like, no air conditioner. At least one or two times a week, there was somebody fainting in church because it was so hot in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I remember, like, in New Mexico, it probably gets, like, 115, right? 120.
Yeah.
It gets really hot. And, yeah, you know, this is, people might not find it funny, but a lot of people in New Mexico, in summer, when they drive, they have gloves.
Because the steering wheel's so hot.
Yeah. It's not because we're a big fan of Michael Jackson, but we are a big fan of Michael Jackson. But, you know, the steering wheel is so hot.
Or race fans.
Yeah, race fan, yeah. Like, you drive a Daewoo. Like, it can't go any faster than 40 miles per hour.
Why do you have gloves?
Well, you have gloves. Like, where you going, bro? But, yeah.
So, hey, yeah. And it's funny because, like, here I live in the South now and I have a heated steering wheel on my car.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I don't want to touch it. It's too cold.
Yeah, I know, right?
And then heated seats.
Wow. And New Mexico's like, it's given to you for free.
I know. You paid for that.
The entire year. You can have it anytime. But yeah, I think that's a funny part. I remember having, like, you know, several gloves in my car, you know. So driving home, like, I have to wear gloves because it's so freaking hot, you know, the steering wheel. But yeah, that's funny that you have a heated steering wheel and heated seats. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I bought my Jeep, you know, I made sure I didn't get that option because, like, you know what I mean? I, you know, living in New Mexico, like, I had that already. Like, why do I want that back?
Yeah.
Why would I pay extra to have that on my steering wheel? So.
Yeah.
But that's funny. But you know what? Since you mentioned that, you know, being a going to church and doing confession, you know, Philippines, you know, I was actually an altar boy for 3-4 years, you know. That's how, you know, I make extra cash just working for the church.
Oh, okay.
Whatever it takes, okay? Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Whatever room I have to go to, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, you know. You know,
yeah, my brothers were altar boys.
Really? You know, yeah. this might not sound right, but this is where I make most of my money, is the funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there's more people shows up in funeral than in wedding. So that's how we make our money. So, you know, we hand that, you know, the basket. So, and then pass it around. And then if the church make, you know, more than what they make the last time, the priests will give us extra money. So, and then we just have to clean the church, the bathroom, you know, help cut the grass. And, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I'll make extra money. And, you know.
Hard times, huh? Dude, our our priest didn't give us shit. I mean, of course, I wasn't an altar boy. I don't think so. I always wanted to be the one to ring the bell, like, when you lifted the host.
The host? You ring the bell?
Yeah, like, ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always wanted to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought that was, like, he was, like, the head altar boy, right?
Well, probably
he was
here.
Like the shift supervisor.
Yeah, I did it actually, but you know what? Sometimes.
Oh, see, so yeah. You were like management.
Yeah, so sometimes we'll take turn, right? We have like shift. So like, also during like, you know, Christmas holiday, that's what also we make crazy money during Christmas holiday. You know, don't have a mass like 3-4 in the morning, up to like 11 a.m. So 3 a.m. pretty much nonstop until 11 a.m. That's like back-to-back, you know what I mean, like mass. So we're just raking up money. So I'll hit the big one, you know, the big bell. Uh-huh. I'll be hitting that. I'll be firing up the fireworks. So every mass, I have to launch like this fireworks during, you know.
What?
Yeah. So that was my job too. So it's pretty fun. Yeah, fireworks. So I get to do all that stuff.
So, I grew up in a really small community.
Yeah.
And not just like being in, I mean, Las Cruces is a small town, but like uh-huh. they have little areas.
Uh-huh.
And the little place that I grew up, or not grew up, but like where we lived or whatever, had
uh-huh.
their own church. And back then it was called San Martin de Porres.
Uh-huh.
And one time they ran out of, the little wafers, the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to send somebody over to Pancho's Villa, which is a little convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought a loaf of Wonder Bread, and they had to have it blessed.
Wow.
Because they didn't have any stuff. So that's kind of like how that's the community that I grew up in.
Yeah, that's funny. But you know what,
and you didn't even get like the whole bread.
Just get a tiny piece.
Just a tiny piece.
You know what? Like, you know, coming over here, you know, like, it took me a while to adapt to the culture, right, from where I came from. So over there, you know, in Philippines, there's a lot of superstition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people like, hey, you can't say that stuff around this time. Or you can't sweep after 6 p.m. at night because you're getting rid of the luck or all that stuff out of your house. So a lot of that stuff, you know, we kind of follow. And it's funny, it's like, so people that, you know, rich people over there, so whenever they purchase a new vehicle, they'll take it to church to have it blessed by a priest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did that too. We did that here.
But they'll throw money on top of the car. They'll throw money.
What?
Yeah.
Then they have to go file an insurance claim because now they have hail damage.
I know. It's all dented and scratched. Broken glass. Yeah. So I was like, and I'll make the extra money. So, like, you know, people will throw money. So I'm over there, you know, helping the priest. I'd be like, screw that, you know, hold these, Father. I'm all like grabbing all the money in the ground. So, and then.
Wow.
Yeah, and over there too, like people buy a new house,
mm-hmm.
they'll throw money around the house too, they'll bless. So, yeah, make decent money, you know, so we can eat. And, you know, back then, we just eat like rice and sardines or like dried fish. Back then, that was really, really good. Like, oh man, I can't wait to have that fish. You know what I mean? I can't wait to eat it. After moving over here, you know, and had this all delicious, tasty food like Burger King, McDonald's, Popeyes. And I went to a Filipino store and bought me the same fish I used to eat and the same sardine I used to eat and ate my ate with the rice. Dude, I almost threw up.
You weren't used to it anymore.
No, it's not. It's like, yeah, I'm not used to it anymore, man. It's like, it's not the same taste, you know. You have to be really, really, really hungry, you know. When you look at me as a child, when I was young, like maybe like around 13 or 14, you probably look at me in one of those, like, you know, those commercial on TV, like, hey, send 25 cents to this child because, you know, he had to eat it for the day. I'll be that kid. That's how skinny I was.
Yeah. So
that's how my wife found me on TV. So she sponsored me, and then she was sending me money, and she brought me here. Like, I want that kid.
I want that kid. He's got beautiful eyes and blonde hair.
That's why I can't leave the house. There's something on my leg. It's like a chain. I don't know. It hurts. It's
That's fun.
Oh, just kidding. That's not true. I love you, babe.
That makes me laugh.
But yeah, but it's crazy, man. Coming over here.
Yeah, different lifestyles. I think that, you know, I don't consider myself to be, like, funny, but I do see a trend where the upbringing of people, mm-hmm. Like, whatever that, you know, the hard times that they went through growing up, I think plays a lot of part, like how funny some people are. You know, they can look back at it and just kind of like laugh about the situation where, you know, because this is real stuff. This is like real instances where, like you said, like you had to be you were an altar boy, you got paid for it. That's what you used to, you know, help the family out with and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy, but, you know, you have no choice but to laugh it out, because, I mean, that's your life. There's no way for you to make it better, you know. There's no, like, Filipino dream. That's why most people in the Philippines, they move to the U.S. or a lot of, like, you know, so, like, the females end up marrying, like a Hugh Hefner, American guy, and they're, like, 30 times their age, you know what I mean? So to better their life. So.
Yeah. I mean, they do what they got to do. Yeah. It's, you know, I remember this isn't me saying it, but there was a lady that would call them, she would call them souvenirs.
Souvenirs.
So like, yeah. So like the military would go off to, you know, wherever they were stationed and like come back married to
Asian,
to an Asian person. It's like, oh, you brought back a souvenir.
Yeah, there's no refund. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no refund.
No refund.
Yeah. And then, like, few years later, they end up leaving them.
Yeah, it's and that's how it is. I mean, sometimes you gotta do, right? And, like, you know, it's called a hustle. You know, that's, you know, you can't hate them for that. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. I mean, people
survival,
do what they
right?
Do, I mean,
survival.
Daily basis.
You know, it's part of life. You know, just like anybody will do. So. But yeah, I'm really fortunate to, you know, where I started out, where I came from, to be, you know, where I'm at right now. So, you know, I have a house, you know, I have a wife, so, and to have a friend like you, you know, kept in touch, you know.
Right on.
But yeah, you know, I'm really fortunate. So, but yeah, I guess.
I do kind of want to give a little shout out, you know, if they ever get to listen to it, is like, you know, Cedric Reed, Alex Wright, Chico, all these guys, Eric Diaz, all these guys that we actually had to work with, not had to, but, you know, work with, and just the great group of guys.
They made the work environment a lot easier. Right, I mean, that being, you know, around those funny guys, I think regardless how stressful your job is, but when you have that kind of character in your group, it makes it so much easier. You know what I mean? Because they're nothing but positive. They bring, you know, to the table.
Right.
And, you know, I love that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I love that. So.
Yeah, and I mean, they've become like friends for life. I mean, it's you know, I know when I go back home, I try to link up with the, you know, a few of the guys that mm-hmm. still live around there. They played a very important part of, like, you know, they made my work day a lot more enjoyable, you know, just like you did. So that was cool as hell, even all the way up to management and stuff. So just kind of a little shout out to them.
Oh, yeah.
For being who they are and being a group, great group of guys and gals. I mean, we worked for you. Crazy ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's everywhere you go. There's always going to be one those kind of person, you know, on everywhere yeah. you go. I mean, over here, there's too many. So it's kind of hard to, you know, avoid them. They're all over the place.
Yeah. But, be kind to people. Don't be an asshole.
I mean, treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean, and that's not hard to do, really, right? And if you want to be respected, we'll respect other people. And they'll hopefully they'll treat you the same. So, all right. Would that be conclude for today's our puck?
Yeah, man. It's a good time, man. We touched on some good stuff. And like I said, I hope that we can just continue to do stuff like this. Maybe even get together on a weekly basis. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, everybody's available to kind of submit a question, and when we hit our next podcast, we can kind of read those out and answer them for you. Mm-hmm. But and hey, don't hold back, man. If you have a funny question, submit it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's serious. Yeah.
Serious question.
Yeah. Ask away.
Yeah, I mean, we'll try. we're not. I'm not sensitive, so neither is Gilbert.
Yeah.
But. If you want to make fun of his accent, I'm sure he'll come up with something like that. If you want to make fun of how many times I say throughout the podcast
please
feel free, anything's open, man. So that's the whole part of freedom of speech. We're allowed to do this on our podcast, and you're allowed to ask questions.
I mean, you know, you're a human being.
Yeah, and maybe even submit a topic that we can probably talk about.
Any ideas, you know? And if you have any question, you know, about New Mexico, you know, like the lifestyle, if you want to know about how, you know, if it's safe, you know, for family to live there, you know, ask away.
Yeah, if you have any questions about New Mexico, Wikipedia.
Yeah, go on Google.
Google it. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But... yeah, just any questions that you have would be pretty cool. All right, man. So I think that'll conclude today.
Hopefully next week.
Get this edited, loaded.
We'll do that again next week.
Yeah, we'll do that. I think I'll be in Jacksonville. I'm going to go check out Felipe Esparza.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that.
And, comedy. So, but the cool part is, like, I've kind of, like, reached out to him, too, to be on the podcast. And I guess the cool thing about, you know, this guy is he's answered a lot of my direct messages. He's actually reposted some of the stuff that I've put on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And he's real down to earth as far as like being able to help somebody out. But I did reach out to him. I was like, episode one, hey, did you think about doing a podcast? He's like, why don't you get it established first? And then we'll, you know, think about it then, but, you know, do a couple, you know, and he gave me a lot of good advice and information. So, he's pretty cool with that. So, I missed him in Orlando, Florida, a couple weeks ago, and I'm trying to catch him up there. So he's actually the one that's kind of inspired me to do the podcast, because, I listen to his and it's pretty cool. So shout out to Felipe Esparza. If anybody doesn't know him, he's the last comic standing, I think it was like the first year, 2010 or something like that. So he's had a lot of guest spots on Superstore and some other things, but and the stand-ups out there too. So, but yeah, man, I think that next time we'll get a feel for how this one went and tweak it. So it can only get better from here, guys. So stay tuned.
Yeah, hopefully next time around we'll do a lot better.
Yeah, and catch the. The podcast I had before, which is the New Mexico Treasure Hunter, which is pretty interesting. A good friend of mine, her dad, is looking for this treasure back in Mexico. And we're actually going to revisit this guy sometime soon so that we can kind of see, like, what findings he's found so far and, like, how what kind of luck he's had finding treasure that this dude
threw
out. But.
All right.
Cool, man. Gilbert, thanks for joining me, dude. It's always a
fucking blast. All right, thanks for having me, dude. Had fun.
Always.
Had a blast.
No problem. All right, man, I appreciate it. Signing out, man. And you want to plug your little Twitter handle? Your Instagram?
Yeah, just, look me up on Almario G Instagram and also Gilbert Almario on Twitter. And, just follow my trend and for any news. Thanks for having me, Chris.
No problem, man. Said this is gonna be a hopefully we can get this done on a weekly basis. I'm Chris_Spartan at Instagram, and then SkyCamSpartan on Twitter. Those are the only two social media things I do besides podcasting and stuff like that. So, send submit your questions and we can get these read out for next week.
All right, thank you. Cool.